Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me read it in Amplified Version. Amplified Version says, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, who hope in Him, shall change and renew their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. They will mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired." Hallelujah. So those who wait, now this is to say, as many who can, some may not, some may, but as many who wait on Him, as many who see the importance of waiting on Him and embrace it. Waiting is not fasting. Fasting is an activity you do when you wait, but waiting is not absolutely fasting. So you can wait on the Lord in a fast, but that you wait, because I hear people say, I've been waiting on the Lord. I mean, for 2022, I waited on the Lord for 40 days. So what did you do the remaining 325 days? So I'm not saying don't fast. Fasting is one of the activities that you do regularly when you wait on the Lord, but waiting is not fasting. Waiting on the Lord is a posture. It's not in words. You can sing it from now to tomorrow. It is in deeds. Waiting on the Lord is in deeds, not in words. So if you go to a restaurant, and that's the usual illustration we have when we describe waiting on the Lord. Please pardon my voice. I don't know what happened. I was not the one who led worship. I don't know why my voice has gone. Maybe I should stop sitting without Judah. So we are used to the illustration of waiters when we talk about waiting on the Lord. Now, if you go to a restaurant, and I mean a proper restaurant, not the ones that you have to queue. You go to correct restaurants where they know that drinking a cup of water alone pays somebody's salary. When you get there, a waiter comes to your table. The moment you sit, someone who has been assigned to that table comes to you to take your orders. The waiter does not stop by just taking your orders. The waiter has not fulfilled his mandate until he has served you what you ordered. So because most of the time we think the Lord talks to me, the Lord has given me the instruction, and I can count how many instructions the Lord has given us this year that we have not even, you know, fulfilled. So the Lord tells you, do this, and then you think that is the end of waiting. Oh, I waited on the Lord, I've been waiting on the Lord, and the Lord has given me an instruction. Your waiting is incomplete until you carry out that task. So when you go to a restaurant, and you understand the type of restaurant I'm talking about now, the waiter takes your order. The waiter keeps coming to your table to let you know that I am still here. In case you want to change your order, in case you want to include any other thing, in case you have an additional person coming to join your table, in case you need water. So they keep coming. Are you comfortable? The waiter's assignment is to ensure that you have an excellent experience while you are there. The waiter does not just come to take your order. The waiter waits on you until you finish eating. If you cough, the waiter must hear from wherever he or she is. Hallelujah. So waiting on the Lord is indeed. It's not just in saying it. It's not just in singing it. It's It's not just flaunting it up at people and telling people, I fast 100 days in a year. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is not as you deem fit. It is as he deems fit. It is what he wants, not what you want. It might be inconvenient a number of times. I mean, it still baffles people when I tell them, I didn't plan to marry the man I married. And I know some people will be looking at me and say, eh? You married a fine man, you are saying this. I didn't plan to marry a fine man. It's too much work. You marry a fine man. It's too much. So I didn't plan to. I had my own specs. So I'm not different from you. Because sometimes people come to me and I hear them, they make it look like, oh, Papa Solomon, it's very easy for you. God just brought in. No, we were enemies. If you've not heard that story, I promise you, maybe during our next wedding anniversary, we will share that story. We were full-time, online, real-time enemies. We were day and night. And the only day we spoke to one another, it was a fight. Somebody had to come in between to say, hey, guys, it's okay. So for you to know how terrible it was, if he felt I was proud, I felt, no, I didn't even feel, I knew. It was that bad. So for me, it was not even on my list. It wasn't. So I'm just saying that his will, and that is what waiting is about. When the Lord puts you in his will, and you live by his will, that is what waiting is. And that is why I've come to tell you that you can wait on the Lord 365 days out of 365 days. Because waiting is not hunger. Waiting on the Lord is living by his will, living by his precepts, living by his instructions. The Lord says, move. And the only question you ask is, how fast should I move? Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord means you are totally dependent on him. You know, there's this popular saying, and I know some people already by now would think it's a Bible verse, but it's not. They say God has given you brain so that you can let him rest. So in case you hear outside and somebody says, the Bible says, it's very popular. So it's not impossible that even believers are beginning to say it and say, God has given you brain so that you can let him rest. Now let me tell you, God did not make man to fend for himself. The original plan of God was not for us to be self-sufficient. The original plan of God was not for us to be independent. So God gave you a brain so that when he tells you what to do and he gives you the instructions, you are able to translate that instruction in your current reality and you are able to interpret it and take on the task as you should. So all this thing about God has given me a brain, and then in some cases you just, God, you know what? I got this. You got nothing. Because God did not make us to be self-sufficient. That was the original intent of God. God made us to be 100% dependent on him. I know sometimes when people say things like this, you come across like, oh, you're just being spiritual. But really, that's the truth. The lie the devil has sold us is that we can live our lives as long as you are not offending God. But really, if you are not in his will, then what else do you classify as offense to God? So you got nothing. Hallelujah. Let's jump to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 from verses 1 to 5. There. Now the serpent was more crafty, subtle, skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Please go on. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden. Yes, go on. Except the fruit from the tree which is from in the middle of the garden. And God said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, otherwise you will die. But serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. Go on. For God knows that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be open. That is, you will have greater awareness. And you will be like God. You know the devil was not lying. On the day you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened. You will know good from evil. Then you will have free will. Then you will be able to choose by yourself. But God said, do not eat. Depend on me 100% for decisions. I will bring your choices to you. But the devil told the woman, when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You will be able to choose between good and bad. Now, the reason God told them not to eat it was because God did not create them to be independent. So most likely, their choices will destroy them. And he says, if you eat it, you will die. That means if you eat it, you will more likely choose evil, and evil will lead to death. But the devil came in his craftiness and told the woman, no, that's not what God was saying. What God was just trying to tell you that you will become like him. So you can eat out of the tree. Verse, what's the next verse? Hallelujah. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so for the first time in her life, she depended on her natural eyes. And she saw that the tree was good for food. Had she not seen that tree before that day? But for the first time, she took her dependence away from God and placed it on her natural eyes. And that it was delightful to look on and a tree to be desired. It's okay to desire whatever you want to desire. But please let your desire align with the will of God. So she depended on her natural eyes. She depended on her desire. And then she made a decision, which is what many of us do today. And as she heard it, she gave to her husband with her and he heard. Men have still not forgiven us for this. Hallelujah. Next verse. Then the eyes of the two of them were opened. Their awareness increased. Their awareness of alternatives increased. Their awareness of what they could do with their lives increased. Their awareness of the options that are bound around them increased. And they knew that they were naked. And they fastened fig leaves together and made them coverings. Please go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. Genesis 2:25. Lady Kemi, are you with me? See you. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed or embarrassed. Now, can you see the difference? When they were totally dependent on God, they were naked. Nothing had changed. But they were not ashamed. They were not embarrassed. Now go back to Genesis 3. And I think we were on verse 8. Or is it verse 7? Verse 7. Go back to Genesis 3 and verse 7. Then the eyes of the two of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked. And shame set in. And embarrassment came in. And they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So who covered them before now? They were totally dependent on God. They didn't have to think of how to cover themselves. They didn't have to think of how to manage shame because there was no shame. They didn't have to think of how to manage embarrassment. But the moment they moved from being dependent to God, from waiting on the Lord, from living in his will, to depending on their natural senses, then shame set in, embarrassment set in. Then the realization of death came in. Hallelujah. 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 Bible says to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, the man who is yielded to the Holy Spirit is life. So when you move from being spiritually minded to being carnally minded, this is just what happens. Your eyes are opened, then you begin to see every object of shame Not necessarily on you, because nothing had changed, but the possibility of shame. And then you want to begin to make up. You want to begin to make up by yourself. You started it. So you want to quickly cover up the gaps that you have noticed. And that is why we have to depend on God 100%, because our nature, naturally, is not one that should be self-sufficient. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40. Now, aside from the fact that shame becomes apparent, embarrassment becomes apparent, I want to quickly show you something. And this is one of the reasons why the devil will never allow us to live in the will of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become tired or grow weary. Go back to verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, who look, expect, and hope in him, will gain their strength, renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Now, let me tell you, not being weary is a nature of God. So what God is saying, when he said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, one of his nature is that he does not go tired and he is not weary. Now, remember in the book of Galatians chapter 4, it says a child will remain subject. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. I think we still have a bit of time, so we can quickly look at it. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Maybe I should be opening my Bible sometimes in between. Is that the Amplified? Now, what I mean when I talk about children and their guardians is that as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, even though he is the future owner and master of all. So when God says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, we are likened to this child. You are likened to the child who has an inheritance in his name, but cannot attain unto it until he grows in maturity, until he attains the criteria set by the Father, until he is able to prove to the Father that he has earned it, until he attains that set. Let me use the word criteria. That's the best word that describes it. So God made us in his image and his likeness. And one of his likenesses is that he doesn't grow weary. He doesn't go tired. But for you to come into the manifestation of that nature of God, you have to wait on the Lord. You have to live by his will so that you also will not go weary and you will not be tired. Now, when the devil tells you there is an alternative, or the devil tells you, no, don't do it, it is not because the devil wants you to disobey God, because that was what Eve thought. I mean, it's just easy for you to say, you know, God will forgive me. God has told you, this is what I expect of you in this season. And then somehow, the devil convinces you and you don't do it. And then in your mind, you just think, I'll just tell God to forgive me. Do you know what the devil has robbed you of? He has robbed you of manifesting the likeness of God. So when we look at it, we just look at it like it's just one of those things. I mean, how can God tell me? So I remember okay, so let me see it. So I remember even after I got engaged, there was this fine guy, rich. You know, when I say we have specs, you know, sometimes you just look at yourself and there's just this criteria you expect from some people. When Pastor was coming to propose, I mean, one of the things I thought of was he studied sociology, education. And I was like, ah. And you know then, you know the courses that were running? Medicine, pharmacy, engineering. Ah. But it's the will of God. If it's the will of God, it must plumb. You know, but there was someone by the side who was okay. He was not even in school anymore. He had graduated. He was okay. He was doing well. And then he had just relocated. And, you know, everything was looking like okay. So for me, if I was left to make a decision, that looked more like it. But on this other side was the will of God that I could not even fight. And we're going to come to that point where we're asking God to help us, to break us, so that you don't even have any strength to fight his will. Because like I said earlier, when the devil deceives you out of the will of God, what he just does is he just takes out that ability in you to manifest the likeness of God and that ability in you to be the perfect stature that God has for you. And so along the way, he began to look like, is it not? Can we manage? You know, but God, this one too loves you now. And he will do your will. If you want us, want him to do anything, he will do it. But I had to yield. It's usually not easy, I know. But you have to. Praise the Lord. I can't say that story in full. The way I'm looking at your faces, you want me to tell you everything inside that story, but I will not. No. Hallelujah. So what the devil does most of the time is he waves before us alternatives. He waves before us options. Now, let me tell you something. If you study the book of Matthew chapter 4, talking about the temptations of Jesus. Matthew 4, if you go specifically to verse 8. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, the magnificence and excellence of them. 9. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Now, the reason Jesus came was to take over the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdom of our God. So what the devil was telling him is, look, it's a long process before you get there. I can hand it over to you now. Just worship me and I will give you. Easy alternative, sweet option. Just bow. All this thing that you came for, you don't need to spend years. God is just so mean. He keeps you waiting. He tells you tomorrow. And then tomorrow is never tomorrow. And then when you run to your pastor tells you a day is like what? So the devil just tells you, just bow now. I will give it to you now. Now, one thing you need to know is that the devil does not know your process. The devil does not have an idea what your process is. So what he does is he sees you at a point today. And as long as you're not following him, he knows you are still in your process. And then he comes to try to take you out of your process. Because as long as you remain on your process, you keep walking in the will of God. But he comes to tell you there's an alternative. He comes to tell you there's an option. And what he wants to do is just to get you out of that rail. The moment you move out of that track and follow the alternative he has given you, he doesn't have a plan for tomorrow. He doesn't even know what your tomorrow is. But what he looks at is where you currently are. Because he looked at Jesus. Oh God, you don't need to fast. How many 40 days will you do before you get this kingdom? You have done 140 days. You're almost dying of hunger. Just come. Let me give it to you now. Because you don't even know how many more 40 days God will tell you to go for. And I don't know if this is God telling somebody to start a 40-day fast. But really, you don't know how many. So how many more do you want to do? So just come. I have seen where you are. And then he wants to give you something in exchange for your process. The devil does not know what your process looks like or what it will end in. He only looks at your current position and he tries to give you an alternative just to move you out of the will of God, which was the same thing he did to Eve. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But we thank God for the power of redemption. We thank God because we have the Holy Ghost. We thank God because he has given us power to become the sons of God. He has given us power. If you just stay through in his will, if you stay through in your process, there is power available for you to become. You will get there. You will not die on the way. You will get there. Your flame will not go out. You will get there. You just need to keep your focus on him and yield yourself and tell the Lord, Lord, I am totally dependent on you. I commit to wait on you the rest of my life. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Today is a new day. A new opportunity is available. It's the dawn of a new season. It's the dawn of a new season. A new opportunity is available. You only just need to embrace it. And tell the Lord, no more. I will no longer make decisions on my own. I depend on you. Let people tell you are taking it too far. Tell them he took it too far when he died on the cross of Calvary for my sake. I refuse to depend on my senses anymore. I refuse to depend on my natural eyes anymore. I want to hear him say it. I want to hear him lead me. I want to hear him give me the instructions that I may follow. It may be tough, but you can do it because power is available for you. Hallelujah. You know, when there was a time I was studying, and the Lord just opened my eyes and said, what do you think I was doing in the garden with Adam and Eve? He would come in the cool of the day to fellowship with them. And you know, the Lord showed me, said, what he was doing then is what he has assigned the Holy Spirit to do for us now. So when Jesus was going to die, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. You will never be alone again. Eve was alone at that time, and then the devil came. Says now, with this new configuration, you will never be alone anymore. The Holy Spirit will always be with you. And I love the way Amplified puts it. Let's go to John 16 and verse 7. And let's just look at how Amplified puts it. John chapter 16 and verse 7. John 16, 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter. I don't know what you're going through, but you have a comforter. I don't know what tough season it is, but you have a comforter. You have someone who is listening to you 24/7. He doesn't go to bed. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. You have someone who can hear you, who can listen to the pain in your heart. You have someone who understands your process, who understands your current position, who understands tomorrow, who understands the mandate upon your life. The advocate is speaking for you, is fighting for you. You are not alone in this battle. You are not alone in the war front. There's someone speaking for you. He says, keep your peace and watch me. Watch me go ahead and fight this battle for you. You have an intercessor even when you are weak and you cannot pray. When you feel you have lost your voice. When you feel you have lost your mind. There's someone standing and is interceding on your behalf. As you pray, because you cannot even find the right words to describe your situation. Because you cannot even find the right words to convince God. Just go on your knees. As you raise your voice, what you are saying is, Holy Spirit, I am 100% dependent on you to fight this battle, to speak on my behalf, to intercede for me, and to speak to God for me. You have a counselor, someone who is willing and ready. You need to know what to do next. He's already whispering to your ears. Just open your ears and listen. You have a counselor. He has all the counsels in the. There is no topic the Holy Spirit doesn't know anything about. There is none. There is no topic. You want to go into forex trading? Talk to him. You want to go into a particular business? Talk to him. At a point at work, I told God, Lord, I need a change. Lord, I need a change. And the Lord said, get ready, you will change. That was the happiest day of my life. I said, get ready, you will change jobs. So I called my subordinate. Immediately the word came. I was at my desk. I called myself. I said, you better start learning. I need to start training you now. Because if I'm not here, because in my mind is next week. And then after then, I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm ready. This change. We are. Let's start. Where's the company? Where's the job? And then 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year. So I went back to God. I said, you are not man that you should lie. He said, I should get ready. This is already 1 year. I'm ready. I almost did my handover notes the day you said I should get ready. Thank God I did not resign. And then the Lord put me on a process. And the first thing I heard was, speak to this person. Tell him you need a change. You want him to review your CV. So I called the guy. Hello. You know, he was my former boss. He was my boss before he changed jobs. I didn't even know he had relocated to Canada. And then the guy said, oh, okay, you want to change jobs? Oh, okay. Okay, so start applying, but send me your CV, let me see it. So I sent him my CV. Now, before then, I'd been floating this CV everywhere. If you came around Marina to buy something, you might even see the CV. I was sending it everywhere. And then he said, send me your CV. And I sent it to him, and he said, Wumi, you know, you can actually change jobs with this CV, but it will only be within banking. And you told me you don't want banking. He said, this CV cannot survive outside of banking. He said, so you need to work on your CV. And that was the first counsel. That counsel did not come from him. The origin of that counsel was God telling me, call him and tell him. So he started putting me through, and we worked on it. So you know the way Canada is, our afternoon is their night. Their morning is our night. So I had to stay awake 3 days. It was 3 days, three nights. Because for me, it would tell me, okay, so do this, get it back to me by tomorrow morning. That, do this, get back to me by tomorrow morning. I have to do it over the night to get it back to him the morning. I mean, pastor had to look at me and say, is this CV you are working on that you are not sleeping? I said, it's CV. It took us 3 days. So we worked on the CV. I sent it back. He would send it to me again. I sent it back. And it was just a rigorous process. And after that, he said, now your CV is ready. Start sending it out. And then I began to get invitations from companies that were, you know, on my list. I was like, God. And all of this process took how long? Another 1 year. Because some will call. I will get there for interview. And then they will tell you, sorry, we got someone better. And then I will go back to God. And God told me at that interview, what did you learn? Write down what you learned. And God began to lead me. I'm telling you, God led me. God told me, open a journal. And start writing down everything you learned from every interview. Every achievement you had in your workplace, put them down. Now, remember there was a particular interview and the Holy Spirit told me. So, it got so much that we began to have mock interviews. I began to have mock interviews with the Holy Spirit. And those people would ask me questions. And I'm like, I don't know this one. I'll go and check. Go to their site. I would get into the interview, and those would be the questions they would ask. At a point, now the one that struck me most was, the Holy Spirit told me, what is the relationship between what you studied, finance, and what you currently do, HR? And I said, okay. So I thought of it. I put it down. Like over 24 hours, I kept thinking of that question. I got into the final interview, and that was the question the lady was going to make the decision asked. He said, you're an accountant. What has it got to do with HR? And I smiled. And I gave her the answer. After I got the job, during my first chat with her, she said, the answer you gave to this particular question was what convinced me that you are best fit for the job. You have a counselor. You don't need to depend on your senses. Now, I am not saying this so that you think you can be lazy. No. Because when the Lord tells you to do something, he expects you to put work into it. So it's not like you want to go for an interview and the Lord says, study this particular trade that happened. Or the Lord says, look into the life of their MD and study what he did. And Lord, and then you just sit and say, the Holy Spirit has spoken. Ha! I have a counselor. Yeah. The Holy Spirit tells you what you need to do. And that is why he gave you the brain. He did not give you the brain so that you do not depend on him. Many of us find it very easy to run to people for counsel. And it's okay. I can run to you for counsel. I can ask you what you think I should do. But don't run to man if you have not heard God. Don't take a decision until he has spoken to you and told you what to do. Because he is your counselor. He is a counselor that does not charge. He is a counselor that does not need appointments. You don't need to call 24 hours ahead. You are not afraid that your information will leak. He is the most reliable counselor that keeps your information confidential. What else do you need? He is the strengthener. Oh, Mahadabashakatabalikataya. So you got the rejection mail, go to him. He will strengthen you. He will hold you by your hands. And he will tell you you are not a failure, because that is what you need to hear at that time. He will strengthen you. You just had a breakup. You go to him. Holy Spirit, I thought he was the one. I made a mistake. He will strengthen you there and there. He is our standby. You know what it means when you have a standby generator? In fact, don't even think of generator, standby generator. When you have solar panels and inverter, you only hear the sound that there's no light. You will not feel it. Your TV will not go off. Your Wi-Fi will not go off. Your internet, everything remains as it is. In fact, you will not even know that there was no light. That is what a standby is. A standby is not somebody that you call and you wait for 5 minutes to get there. A standby is somebody that is already generating power for you, even though you have power. So that the moment you falter, that power that is already generating for you takes over immediately. There is no gap when you have a standby. There is no gap. It's there, 100%. It's just like the normal power that you have. It's already flowing. You don't need to start it. Hallelujah. He will come to you. But if I go, he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him. And that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, do you love the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, we yield to you this morning. Our comforter. Our advocate. Our intercessor. Our counselor. Our strengthener. And my standby. Mahadabo shakata balikataya. It is only by the help of the Holy Spirit that we are able to live in the will of the Father. They that wait on him, they that live by his will, they that depend on him, they that trust in him, they that look up to him alone. I remember, and let me just share this testimony. I got a job offer and it was to move to Wema Bank from First Bank. And you know, I was even afraid to tell people, my friends, that I got a job offer to Wema Bank, because the natural senses was that you are going back. If you are coming from a First Bank and you are going to a Wema Bank. In fact, some people, the first two people I told were like, are you sure? Why don't you wait? God will still do your own. Don't be desperate. You know? Then I shared with a friend and he said, wow. Do you think God is in it? I said, I think so. He said, so go ahead. Then I called Pastor Ayo and we got talking. And Pastor Ayo said, the Lord is bringing you a bridge. When it comes, it will not look like it, but take it. Oh. So I told God, if you want to give me the bridge that I can stand on very well when I'm walking. And then at that point, I wasn't too sure. Should I not? So I took it. And I kept professing the word of God. This is the bridge that is taking me to where I'm going. So my first day in Wema Bank, you know, it was a warm welcome. Then I went to the restroom. And one hot hair blew on me. I said, You know, when you go to the restroom didn't look like what I used to have in First Bank. So I went back to God and said, God, let this bridge be very short. I enjoyed my stay in Wema Bank, to be sincere. It was a good stay. I enjoyed my stay. Even though it was a very short one. It was just for 3 months. Now, when the other job came, then I realized and understood why that bridge had to come. If I had not taken that bridge, the other job would still have come, but I would have been cut off somewhere. The benefits, the honor would have been cut off somewhere, because they would always ask you where you're coming from, what were you placed on. It wasn't something that was palatable, but it was the will of God, and I embraced it. And it was not easy embracing it. I had nightmares, and this is me being truthful with you. I had nightmares. I kept asking myself, is this God? Is it real? Should I not? Am I in line? Am I, you know, and then something will happen and you ask yourself, hey, and then all of a sudden you hear the news of somebody who left and went to another organization, and after 2 months, the person got sacked, and you say, hey, it's not better to just stay. But you will not open your ears to false news. You will not be open to any news that contradicts the will of God upon your life. Because His will is sure. His will is sure. Is a sure anchor. It's something you can depend on. And this morning, we're just going to be yielded to His will. And I don't know how far you have gone in your journey and what it is that, you know, has broken you down and you have felt alone. But because you have the Holy Spirit with you, then it is easy for you to live by the will of God. It is easy for you to wait on the Lord. Like I said, you can wait on Him 365 days in 365 days without faltering, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. I just wanted to raise your hands to Him this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I am yielded to you. Holy Spirit, break every resistance to your will. Break every resistance to your will. I live by your will. I wait on you the days of my life. I refuse to struggle from this moment. I just yield myself and I flow with the tides of your river. No more struggling for me. No more struggling. No more struggling. No more struggling. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. I stand, O God, and I wait every instruction that you have for me. Holy Spirit, I thank you because I have the power deposited in me to become what you want me to be. I have the Holy Spirit as my standby.